Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into something that might seem pretty basic at first. Property rights.
Basic, sure, but there's way more to it than just, you know, owning your house.
Right. It's more than just, I have this house and it's mine. And we're going to get into some of the really interesting and kind of surprising stuff that comes with property rights.
Oh, absolutely. Like, did you know you could actually get kicked out of your rental because the landlord died on a bullet train or something?
That is wild.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to unpack all that and more in this deep dive. We're looking at materials from Professor Donahue's business law class.
Great source. He really gets into the nitty-gritty of these concepts.
And one of the things that stood out to me was this idea of property not just being a thing, but like a bundle of rights.
Yes, that's a key concept.
So not just I own this house, but I have all these different rights that come with owning this house.
Exactly. Like you said, it's not just about the physical object itself. It's about a whole set of legal rights you have over that property.
Okay, so help me understand this bundle of rights idea. What did that actually mean in practice?
Well, think of it like this. You buy a house, right? One of the most important rights in that bundle is what's called fee simple ownership.
Fee simple ownership. Okay, so that's like the most common way we think about owning something, right?
Exactly.
So if I buy a house and I have fee simple ownership, what does that actually give me?
Basically, it means you have all the rights to that property. Like, you can live there.
Okay.
You can keep other people out. You can sell it.
Sell it. Got it.
Lease it. Rent it out. You could even destroy it. Within legal limits, of course. But it's yours to do with as you please. At least until you decide to give some of those rights away, either temporarily or permanently.
Interesting. So it's like having full control. Like, all the tools in the toolbox are yours.
Yeah, a great analogy. You have all the sticks in the bundle.
Now, Professor Donahue, he uses this story about a woman, Mrs. Jones, and her parents. To illustrate this point about giving away some of those rights, specifically with something called a life estate.
Oh, yeah, the life estate example. That one's always a good illustration.
So break that down for me. What is a life estate?
Okay, so Mrs. Jones, she owns her house in fee simple, all the rights, and she decides to grant her parents, the Yamasakis, a life estate in the house.
Okay.
Which means they have the right to live there for as long as they're alive, but it's not like they own it outright.
So they're like borrowing some of those rights, those sticks in the bundle, from Mrs. Jones.
Exactly. For a specific period of time, their lifetimes.
And what can they do with the house during that time? Can they, like, rent it out if they want to?
Yeah, absolutely. They could totally rent it out. They can live there themselves or temporarily transfer part of their bundle of rights to a tenant.
Interesting. So they can kind of do what they want with it, right?
Well, within the limits of that life estate, yeah.
Right, right. But then Professor Donahue throws a real curveball in this example. What happens if the parents die while the house is rented out?
Ah, yes. This is where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
And kind of morbid, to be honest.
Well, he uses the example of them dying in a train accident, so.
Yeah. A bullet train, no less. So what happens is that the tenant's rights, they actually end immediately, even if they have a lease.
Wait, really? Why is that? They had a contract with the parents?
Right, but think about it. The parents only had the right to live in the house for their lifetimes. They couldn't give away more rights than they had themselves, right?
Ah, I see. So when their rights expired, everyone else's rights kind of died with them.
Precisely. It's a pretty harsh reality, but it highlights this really important principle in property law. You can't give away what you don't have.
That's a good point. It's a really clear illustration of that principle. Mm. And it sounds like it applies beyond just this life estate example.
Oh, absolutely. That idea pops up everywhere in property law. Like, think about month-to-month rentals.
Okay, so something a lot more people are probably familiar with.
Right. But even there, you can run into these weird situations with something called a holdover tenancy.
Holdover tenancy? What's that?
It happens when a lease ends, but the landlord keeps accepting rent without a new agreement in place.
Okay.
And what that can do is accidentally create a whole new lease, sometimes for like a whole year, even if neither party really meant for that to happen.
Wow. So even though you think you're just going month to month, you might actually be locked into something much longer.
Yep. And it happens a lot more than you'd think, even with businesses. Professor Donahue, he talks about a situation with a commercial property, like a mall, where all these leases lapsed and the landlord kept cashing the checks. And suddenly these tenants who were supposed to be moving out, they had another year on their lease.
Oof, that's got to be a headache for everyone involved, especially in a commercial setting where those agreements can be super complicated.
Oh, yeah, major headaches.
So the takeaway there is always be super clear about the terms of your lease. whether you're the landlord or the tenant.
Absolutely. Never hurts to double check.
Professor Donahue's examples are great at, like, bringing these concepts down to earth.
Yeah. He's a master storyteller. And it's not just about rights across time, like in those examples. He also digs into rights across space. Like, can you stop the power company from putting poles on your property?
Wait, you can't? I mean, if I own the land, don't I get to say what happens on it?
Not always. See, the law recognizes that utilities, they need to be able to access land to provide essential services, right? Like electricity, water, sewers, all that good stuff.
Okay, so there's a balance there.
Exactly.
They can't just build a power plant in my backyard.
Right. They have what's called a public utility easement. It gives them the right to use a reasonable amount of your property for those purposes.
Okay, so it's not a free-for-all, but they do have some rights. Makes sense. What about situations with, like, neighbors?
Neighbors. Now there's a whole other can of worms.
Right. Say my neighbor needs to use part of my driveway to get to their property. Can they just, like, force me to let them?
No. No. They can't force you, but they can purchase what's called an easement. It's basically an agreement that gives them the right to use your property for a specific purpose. Like, in this case, driving across your land.
So, like, a very specific lease.
Exactly. More narrowly defined.
And Professor Donahue, he brings up this really interesting question. What if your neighbor with the driveway easement starts parking, like, monster trucks on their property, and all that extra weight starts messing up your driveway?
Right. He loves to throw in those curveballs.
It doesn't seem fair that they could just change how they're using their property and impact you like that.
It's not fair. And that actually brings up this idea of overburdening the easement.
Overburdening. So, like, they're using it for something beyond what was originally agreed upon.
Exactly. It's like a violation of the easement. And there are actually legal things you can do to protect your rights as the property owner.
That's good to know. So it's not just like, tough luck, you're stuck with it.
Nope. You have recourse. Easements, they can get pretty complicated. And it's not just driveways either. Professor Donahue brings up this other kind of easement I'd never even heard of. An easement of view. He says it's unique to Hawaii.
An easement of view. Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So in Hawaii, where, like, scenic views can dramatically increase your property value, they have these easements that protect those views.
Oh, I get it. So, like, if I have a house on a cliff with a killer ocean view, someone can't just build a giant hotel in front of me and block it all out.
Right. It's about preserving those valuable views and protecting the value of the property. It's a great example of how property law can be tailored to local concerns.
Super interesting. So from beautiful ocean views in Hawaii, Professor Donahue takes us to a totally different landscape with this discussion of water rights. He talks about the common enemy doctrine in rainy New England,
where you can basically redirect all that rainwater onto your neighbor's property without any consequences.
Right. Which is in stark contrast to the strict water rights in places like Nevada, where, you know, every drop is precious.
And it's fascinating how he points out that these issues, water rights, are only going to get more important as climate change and growing populations put more and more pressure on water resources. It's like a whole other layer to this property rights discussion.
Definitely. And before we move on, he makes this really important distinction about easements, one that's especially crucial for businesses. He talks about the difference between an easement in gross, there's like a contract between specific landowners, and an easement appurtenant. That one actually becomes permanently attached to the land.
Right. So it gets passed on to future owners, not just the original people involved.
And why is that difference so important?
Well, imagine you buy a restaurant, right? But the previous owner, they just had like a handshake deal with the neighbor for delivery trucks to use their driveway. So that's an easement in gross personal between those two. And when you buy the property, that easement might not transfer to you.
So you could end up with a restaurant, but no way for deliveries to get there. That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Exactly. This is why understanding those details is so crucial, especially for businesses. A good title search when you're buying a property can really prevent a lot of these headaches down the line.
Okay, title searches, got it. Professor Donahue also mentioned those when he was talking about that straw man purchase tactic, remember? The one developers use to get around easement problems.
Oh, yeah, the straw man. It's a little bit of a legal loophole, but it can be useful when two parties are just totally stuck on an easement issue.
So remind me, how does that work?
Basically, a third party buys both of the properties involved, gets rid of the troublesome easement, and then sells them back to their original owners. It's kind of a roundabout way to solve things, but it can work.
It sounds like property law can be a pretty strategic and sometimes even creative field.
It totally can. And Professor Donahue even shares stories about his former friend, Donald Trump. using these kinds of tactics in his real estate dealings.
It's a good reminder that there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. Speaking of things that aren't always obvious, there's this other concept Professor Donahue talks about, something called easement by estoppel, where someone might actually be granted an easement just based on how a property has been used, even without a formal agreement.
Right. Like in that example of the restaurant using the neighbor's driveway for deliveries for years and years, even if there's no written contract, it's basically like those actions, that history of use, it creates a kind of unwritten rule that the courts might recognize as a legal right.
That's so interesting. It makes it seem like property rights aren't always black and white. It's not just about having a signed piece of paper.
Sometimes it's about how things have always been done.
And all these complexities, from easements to life estates to this estoppel thing, it makes you wonder how anyone can be sure what they really own or what rights they have when it comes to property.
Well, that's where title searches come in again. Professor Donahue really emphasizes how important they are. It's like an investigation into the history of a property, looking for any easements, liens, anything that could affect the buyer's rights.
So like a detective digging into the past to uncover any hidden surprises about the property.
Exactly.
Because those surprises could be pretty major, right?
Oh, definitely. Imagine buying a big commercial property, thinking you're going to expand your business, and then finding out there's an easement that prevents you from doing anything.
That would be brutal. So a good title search can help you avoid those kinds of situations.
Absolutely essential, especially when you're dealing with a bigger investment. And Professor Donahue doesn't shy away from the more, shall we say, colorful aspects of property law. He talks about those straw man purchases, and he even shares anecdotes about his former friend Donald Trump using some pretty creative tactics to resolve those easement disputes.
And those examples, they kind of highlight how dynamic and even strategic this field can be.
It's not just about dry legal concepts. There's real-world maneuvering going on.
And I think this deep dive has really opened my eyes to how much more there is to property rights than just having a deed in your hand. It's a whole web of rights, responsibilities, and relationships.
It's a lot more complex than it seems on the surface.
We've covered a lot of ground already, but it feels like we're just scratching the surface.
We are. And I can't wait to dive into even more fascinating aspects of property law in our next segment.
Welcome back to the deep dive. I'm still kind of stuck on those restaurant owners we were talking about, you know, the ones who could lose their business if those delivery trucks can't get through.
Yeah, tough situation for sure. And it really brings up that concept of easement by estoppel again, where like even if there's no official agreement, someone might have a right to use your property just because that's how it's always been done.
Right, like that restaurant using the neighbor's driveway for years, even without a contract. Makes you wonder, how much weight does that history of use actually have?
It can be surprisingly significant. Professor Donahue really stresses that while those written agreements, you know, they're always the best way to go, this whole concept of estoppel shows that sometimes those long-standing practices, they can actually carry legal weight.
So it's like, if everyone's been doing something a certain way for long enough, it almost becomes a right, even if it's not written down anywhere.
Exactly. Like an unwritten rule that everybody's been following, so it kind of becomes part of the property's story.
Interesting. But what if the situation's flipped? What if someone's been using IOI property without my permission for ages? Can they suddenly try to claim some kind of right to it?
That's a great question. And that's where this idea of adverse possession comes in, which Professor Donahue also talks about.
Adverse possession. Okay, what's that all about?
Well, it's this legal doctrine that allows someone to actually claim ownership of property, even if they don't technically have the legal title, you know, the deed or whatever, if they've been using it openly and continuously for a certain period of time.
Hold on, are you saying someone could actually lose their property just because someone else was using it without asking? That sounds kind of crazy. Yeah.
Well, it's not as common as you might think. And there are definitely a lot of specific requirements that have to be met. It's not like you can just camp out on someone's lawn for a week and suddenly claim it's yours.
Right.
It's more like if someone's been farming a piece of land or maintaining a fence line, like as if it was their own for years and years, openly and without any objection from the actual owner, then they might be able to make a claim for adverse possession.
So it's like claiming ownership through like long-term use and habit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like squatter's rights, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah, in a way. But those cases are super complicated and definitely involve a lot of legal hoops to jump through.
Makes sense? Man, with all these different layers, easements, life estates, adverse possession, it's enough to make your head spin.
It can be overwhelming for sure.
How can anyone be really sure what they own or what rights they actually have when it comes to property.
That's why title searches are so important, which Professor Donahue talks about a lot. It's basically like an investigation into the history of a property, looking for any easements, liens, anything that could affect the buyer's rights.
So you're hiring someone to basically be a property detective.
Exactly. They dig into all the records, all the past transactions, everything to make sure there are no hidden surprises lurking beneath the surface.
Because those surprises, they could be pretty big deals, right?
Huge. Like imagine, you know, buying a commercial property, thinking you're going to expand your business, and then boom, there's some hidden easement that totally throws a wrench in your plans. A good title search can help avoid those nightmare scenarios.
Sounds like a must-have, especially for businesses.
Absolutely crucial. And Professor Donahue, he doesn't just focus on the, like, dry legal stuff. Remember, he also talked about those straw man purchases and even shared stories about his buddy Donald Trump using these kind of clever tactics to deal with easement disputes.
Yeah, I remember those examples. Kind of shows how property law can be more than just following the rules. There's strategy involved, too.
Totally. It can get pretty creative sometimes.
And this whole deep dive, it's really made me realize that property rights, they're a lot more complex than I ever imagined. It's not just about owning a thing, but about understanding all these interconnected rights and responsibilities that come with it.
It's about more than just having a deed in your hand, that's for sure.
It's like a whole system, a whole web of relationships that we have to navigate, and we've only just scratched the surface.
We have. There's so much more to explore, and I can't wait to get into some even more interesting aspects of property law in our next segment.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Man, this whole deep dive into property rights has been a real trip. Like, I had no idea how much I didn't know.
It's been fascinating, hasn't it?
Totally. From unpacking that whole bundle of rights thing to those crazy scenarios with easements and holdover tenancies and even, like, adverse possession, it's wild.
It's definitely not just about owning a thing, that's for sure.
Right. And those examples Professor Donahue uses, like the bullet train scenario or those monster trucks messing up the driveway, they really bring it all to life.
He's great at connecting those real-world situations to the legal concepts.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that's really stood out to me is how property rights, they're not like set in stone, you know.
Absolutely.
They're constantly changing and evolving as society changes.
Especially with all these new technologies popping up all the time.
Exactly. And that makes me think about, like, what about digital stuff? You know, like online data and intellectual property.
Ooh, yeah, that's a whole other can of worms.
Right, like who owns the data you generate online? Or the photos you post? Or the music you create?
Those are huge questions. And honestly, courts and lawmakers, they're still trying to figure it all out.
Makes you realize that property rights aren't just about physical things anymore. It's like extending to ideas and information.
It's about the intangible, the virtual, even the very essence of creativity. It's a whole new frontier.
So with all this complexity and all these changes happening, why should the average person even care about property rights? Like, what's the takeaway for them?
Because it impacts us all, every single day, whether we realize it or not. Renting an apartment, buying a house, starting a business, heck, even just interacting with your neighbors, understanding your property rights, it's about being able to protect yourself.
And being able to advocate for yourself if something goes wrong.
Exactly. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to these kinds of legal matters.
And it's not just about individual rights.
Right.
There's also a bigger picture here. Like, how do we use and share space and resources as a society?
Yeah.
How do we manage all that fairly?
That's a huge part of it. And thinking about property rights, it can actually encourage us to think more critically about those big picture issues. How do we ensure everyone benefits, not just those who happen to own the most stuff?
It's like a whole new way of thinking about property. It's not just about like mine, but about the relationships and responsibilities that come with ownership.
Well said. And remember, folks, property law, it's always in flux.
Yeah, for sure.
So staying informed, seeking out expert advice when you need it, those are always smart moves.
This deep dive has honestly changed how I think about property. It's not just about owning a thing. It's about understanding this whole complex web of rights and responsibilities and relationships that comes with it.
And it's been a pleasure exploring that web with you.
Likewise. Next time I hear someone talking about property, I'll be thinking about all these fascinating layers beneath the surface. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the wild world of property rights.
Thanks for having me. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep learning.